So this is the last week of Psalms. It has been good. Psalms is a good book. A good book of books. I'll be speaking on Psalm 33 today. I spent last Friday preparing for the message, and then this week felt just I was working on the wrong psalm. It felt like my boss said to me, Adrian, I need you to work on the Fitzpatrick job this week, and it's due on Friday. I'm like, okay, I'll do that. Then the next day he's like, did I say Fitzpatrick? I'm at the Hanson project. Can you work on that? But the deadline's still Friday. I'm like, God, you could have led me earlier with this. All good. I love it. I love it when things just, when it just settles in your heart, you're like, that's the one. So the book of Psalms, it's a book of songs. As I was just reading up and researching into the what they are and what they're all about, it's a book of songs. Each was written as a song or a prayer, but to be sung. They actually weren't all written together. They were written separately by different people. And then it was compiled together in collections. Not sure if you've noticed, but there's five books within the book of Psalms, and they've been compiled together to under certain themes and authors. And my Psalm 33 comes from the first book, and it's mostly written by David. This particular psalm doesn't have an author or anything above it saying of David or written by so-and-so, but it's most people, or a lot of people think it was written by David just because the majority of those psalms were written by him. And it says that, and the psalm before it was written by David, and it almost leads into this one. So I'm not going to say it was by David, but some people think it was. The Psalms compiled together, it's a book of books, and it's kind of like the hymn book of the temple, the second temple time when the Jewish people were all together. There's different types of Psalms, we all know that. I was thinking some of the different movies I've watched recently and how there's different types of psalms, there's different types of movies, and I thought it'd be fun to kind of relate some. I watched recently with Liz, I didn't think I would enjoy it. But Mary Poppins Returns. That's a good movie. I actually enjoyed it, Lauren, and I think you should too. You should watch it. That was a good, fun movie to watch, and I think that I would categorize that as just a feel-good movie. I think I'd be correct in saying that was just a good feel-good movie. Good feel-good movie like Jurassic Park just makes me feel good. Olympus Has Fallen, those sorts of movies, just makes me feel good. It's just a good feel-good movie. There's lots of psalms that are like real feel-good, praise God, everything's good psalms. And they're fun to read. They're awesome to read. There's psalms that come under the title of like a kingship. It's all about the kingdom. And I think like The Lion King at the moment, that's like a kingdom type movie, king. Anyway, I haven't seen that. Anyone seen the new one? No, no one's seen the new one? Oh, you have? Cool. Liz and I are going to go see it sometime soon. There's lament type psalms, so it's about grieving. And the movie I thought of that I'd watched was the movie Up, the kids movie Up. Remember that? Man, that's sad. I may have teared up a little, just a little. But it's about this man whose wife passes away and he's just grieving his wife and finding ways to deal with that. And it's in, you know, within a kids' movie that's all fun and cool. There's messianic psalms about Jesus, talk about the future and a savior. For me, that's like James Bond. It's all about the hero movie, all about the one person saving somebody or saving people, a nation. And been reading some James Bond novels recently. They're pretty good. That's all about the one. There's wisdom psalms that are similar to like the Proverbs. Cool Runnings, I think, is a good movie to learn some lessons from. And so the wisdom psalms are, what could we learn from that? And I remember it was just recently, it might have been last year, I was watching Cool Runnings with the kids. And there was a line in it that said, where they're talking about gold medals and winning, and the coach said to one of the guys in the team, he said, if you're nothing without a gold medal, you'll be nothing with a gold medal. I'd never heard that line in all the years of watching it on rainy days at schools. I was like, wow, what a lesson to learn. Anyway, I classify Cool Runnings as a wisdom psalm. There's just some good lessons in there. There's historical psalms, psalms that talk about what's happened in the past. And some movies that Liz and I watched over the last couple of years, Hidden Figures, that's a cool movie. That was just an enjoyable movie about getting, was that about the first trip to the moon? That orbited, yeah. Incredible. The King's Speech, that was fun, but for me, my favorite would be Apollo 13. It's not old, but it's based on a true story that happened in the past. Awesome movie. Probably my favorite movie experience was this year, sitting with Caleb, watching Apollo 13 for the 53rd time. And that moment at the end where they appear through the clouds in the sky and the voice comes on, we're here, we've made it through, and everyone cheers at the command center. And Caleb and I are sitting next to each other, and I'm tearing up, and I can tell he's tearing up as well, because he like gets the emotion of it, and like the enormity of this moment. I was like, oh, this is so special. Like, hey, Caleb, you cried. It was just a fun moment. Psalm 33, which is what I want to talk about today, is just a feel-good type of psalm. It's a praise psalm. It could be linked to a kingship type psalm as well, talking about the kingdom. It's together. But it's just a feel-good. And as I read it, and God kind of spoke to me really clearly immediately through it, just with some key points. And I just want to encourage people today with some stuff that's coming out of this particular psalm. It's a feel-good one. And hopefully it encourages and lifts people up and speaks to us today. Psalms. Just something else about this. Does anybody know, here's a little quiz, did you know that there are two psalms almost identical? Anybody know that? Come on, Gran. No. Well, if Gran doesn't know, I don't think anyone knows. Anyway, Psalm 14 and 53, look it up later. They're almost identical, and they're the same psalm, just written slightly differently. But it was all to do with the compiling of different psalms. That psalm just happened to get doubled up twice. No one's perfect. These things happen. But they're the same psalm. Interesting. Just thought you'd like to know that. The meaning of the word psalms, the Greek meaning has to do with songs sung to the accompaniment of stringed instruments. And then the Hebrew meaning, as it was translated as the time went on, is to do with praises. And psalms, songs, it gives us an insight into what life was like back then, which is similar in the way that we get together every Sunday to sing songs and worship God. Songs were so much a part of their life and culture back then. And I think that's where we get it from. Like, you just can't escape this expression of worship to God through song. And it's a gift. And psalms, the definition is songs, something to be sung to instruments. And it's a praise, not just a song, but it's a praise. And when you think about the different types of psalms, and that some are a grieving or a lament type psalm, there's still this focus that no matter what you're going through, praise God. Like, just keep the focus on God. Maybe don't praise God for what's happening, but just praise God that He is God. And just remember that as we look back at these psalms and how it just, they're so popular because they just cover all bases when it comes to what we experience in life and all the different emotions we go through. We can find a psalm that just connects with us on the day. But the actual meaning is it's always praise. And so whatever we're going through, let's just remember let's praise God and just put Him first and honor Him for who He is. Amen? So Psalm 33. I'll read it out and then we'll start going through it. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. For He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart throughout all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. It's one more paragraph to go. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. God, I thank you for this psalm. Lord, there's so much in it that I've taken out of it, and I pray that something would just settle in everybody's hearts today, and it would just be a word from you, God. It would be something that points people to you, that gets people excited about you, that encourages people in whatever they're going through. I pray for a word from you, Lord, that would speak, and we'd all walk out just having heard from you, God. Not so much me, but just heard from you, God. And feel equipped and ready and excited about our relationship with you and what you're doing, what you're going to do, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've divided the psalm up into five areas. And the first one is to sing a new song. I actually wrote this in my Bible years ago in the first part, which is verses 1 to 3, verse 3 says, sing to him a new song, play skillfully and shout for joy. I wrote in my Bible years ago, just a new song represents new revelations, new seasons, new generations, and just how our worship and our praise should always be fresh when it comes to God. That it shouldn't be something that we just do out of routine, or we just do because we know it's a good thing to do, that it should be fresh because his love for us is fresh. Lamentations 3:22, I think, 3:23 talks about how God's compassions and mercies are new every morning. Great scripture, a lot of us remember it and like know that scripture. Just made me think that every morning God's compassions for us are brand new. They're fresh. They're there for us. It's like the manna in the Old Testament. God provided the manna for them every day. It was fresh. It was ready to eat. If they saved it up for the next day, it got moldy and it was old and it wasn't edible anymore. So God goes to all this effort to save us and to give us new compassions every day. And I know from my experience, if God's compassions aren't and his mercy isn't new every day, then I'm in trouble. I'm nowhere near a perfect person, and I need God's mercy every day. And it's incredible that he shows me and gives me that mercy that is fresh and new every day. And so when it talks about here a new song, sing a new song to God, I see that and I think, wow, if God can give me something new every day, I need to make sure I'm giving him something fresh every day. And worship is something and praise is something that should be fresh. So sing a new song. I want to encourage us to make sure our worship, the way we live our life, it's fresh. It's honoring God in a new way. I'm not saying every day write a new song, although for some of our songwriters and musicians, that go for it. And I think, and I love that we sing new songs. Like that last song we did, that's a fairly new song. We didn't sing that 5 years ago. But it's new, it's fresh, it's for the occasion. I want to encourage our songwriters to write for the occasion, sing a new song. And I'll be honest, I don't like all of our new songs all the time. Just being honest. I'm sure some of you have felt the same way. You're like, oh, I don't like this song too much. Good thing it's not about me and what I like, and it's all about God, so I'll sing and worship him. But I remember listening to a pastor, like a statesman type pastor in the ACC movement, and he said, he always listens to like the new Hillsong Young and Free or United albums to make sure he's just not falling behind when it comes to what God's doing in people's in the church. And that's why when I heard that, I thought, man, that's so right. That's so good. How right of someone at that age to be just investing and getting, surrounding them, just filling their life with songs from the youth, just to make sure they're not missing out on what God's bringing to his people and doing in his church. And so when I hear a new song here, I remind myself, it's like, okay, might not like this. It's only one song, by the way. I'm not going to tell anybody what song that is. But in the history of our church, there's just one song that I'm like, no, I don't like it too much. And it's not a song that we've written, so don't worry about that. But I remind myself, okay, one, it's not about me. And two, God's doing something and I need to make sure I don't miss out on that. And I need to step into what he's doing in this occasion, in this season. And so it's singing a new song is all about being fresh and giving God something new and listening to the creative director, I think it was, for Hillsong Church, like global. And she just talked about, not that this is relevant to us, but she talked about with Hillsong Conference and the big thing that it is and the big worship albums that they do, that each year it's not about getting better, like doing a better job. It's not about selling more. Like, it's never about being better. It's just about expressing what God's doing now. And it just happens to be amazing because it's fresh and it's real. And I think that's what it's like for us. Not that we ever try and do something better for God, but just, I love that idea. Let's just make sure we're being fresh. Our relationship with God is something that is happening. It's real, it's alive, and it's active. And that the way we respond to God is fresh. It's new. We're not just hanging on to old songs, old ways of doing things, old ways of church, or we're not holding on to that, but we're letting God do something new in us. And where as he gives us new mercies, we give back to him fresh and new worship that is from the occasion, from today, from now. What is God doing in me right now? Sing a new song. Even in the book of Revelations, decades after this psalm was written, Revelation 5:9, it says a new song was sung. That's John prophesying about a time that hasn't even yet come and talking about the new songs that they were singing in that occasion of when Jesus is coming back. A new song. So I want to encourage us, worship God and let it be fresh and real and new. Write a new song that's for the occasion. When you read the word, like that scripture Liz brought to us today, I thought, I don't think I've read that before, but I have. I've read the whole Bible a few times. And it's amazing how God just highlights a scripture and it's like, I feel like I've never read that before. It's just so fresh, it's so timely, it's so important, it's just so for us right now. It just stands out so much, it's like I've never heard that before. And I think that's what it's like. Give God something that's new. Invest into him and he'll invest into you. Amen? A new song. Number two, a powerful word. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. And it goes on to say, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. God's voice is powerful. Just quickly, I forgot to say this. If I was to summarize Psalm 33, I would call it a song of praise for God's gracious rule over his people. God is our ruler, he's our king, and he's so gracious towards us. And this psalm is like just this expression of praise for all the good things that our ruler and king is and has and will do for us, and just his protection and how amazing he is. So it's about his gracious rule. So a new song comes out of just, let's just worship our great ruler because of how much he's done for us. He's a great and gracious ruler because of his powerful word. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The word of God. I love that when we read Genesis and look at the story of creation, that God didn't create with his hands, he created with his breath. And that to me is like, that's just amazing. He didn't even have to use his hands. He just had to say something and stuff happened. And that's the voice of God. And what's like, that's incredible. And it's amazing that we can walk around, we can have that word in our pockets. It's like Steve Jobs said about the iPod, a genius marketing phrase, 1,000 songs in your pocket. Man, we've got the word of God in our pocket, hopefully in our hearts as well, but like we can just walk around with the word of God in our pocket. And it's as easy as just opening up the Bible, YouVersion app. And I've been doing this recently. Verse of the day, Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you who pardons sins and forgives the trespass? Like I can just read that straight away and be encouraged by that. The word of God is there. We can walk around with something so incredible. Something that created the heavens and the earth. We can walk around with that in our pocket. We can have that in our life. We can own that, we can listen to that. And I want to encourage us today, God's word is powerful, it is commanding. It talks about in Colossians how Jesus, who is the word of God, holds all things together. God's word didn't just create, but it governs creation. So he just didn't speak and it all happened, but his word is actually governing creation. Because of what he said, you know, the sun keeps rising and setting. Like our universe keeps expanding or whatever it's doing. Like it's doing it because God said. It's governed by his word. God's word is commanding. He just has to say something. Angels respond. Things happen. People respond. It just, when God speaks, something happens. Isaiah 55:11 says, God says, my word will not return to me empty. That's because his word's powerful. When he says something, he will do it. And I want to encourage us. If God said, let there be light, and there was light, what can God say into you right now? That's just an incredible thought. And God said, let there be light. What if God said something to you? Like if God can just create everything like that. What if God just said something to you? And the point is that God is speaking and he is saying stuff. And if we just open ourselves up and invest our lives into him, then he'll continue to speak. And it's incredible when we lock on and hold on to those words that God says to us, how much that really changes us, how much it builds and recreates our identity as a child of God, that no longer we are this, but now we're a child of God and we are a child that is loved, a child that is called, a child that has a plan and a purpose, a child that's meant to be, that's not a mistake. It's like, God just had to say that. And as I believed it, it changed me and it created in me a new creation. God just has to say something. To me, that's amazing. Psalm 19 verse 8 says, God's word brings joy to our heart and light to our eyes. It's just so powerful what God's word can do in our lives. Something that I've been praying for one of my friends that is close to knowing God, like really close, and it's exciting stuff. Luke 24:32 is a story where Jesus has died, but he's come back to life again. He hasn't quite ascended yet, but he's on a road and he's chatting to a couple of disciples. They don't know it's Jesus yet, but they work it out later. And he's talking to them about the scriptures and he's just explaining it to them and talking about the history of it and how it all comes together. And they say later on to each other as Jesus has left and they've realized who it was, were not our hearts burning within us as he opened up the scriptures to us? And I think that's what God's word, when God talks to us, that's what it, I don't know about you, but it just burns in your heart, not in a bad way, but in like, wow. Like God has spoken, he's said something and he's answered something. He's given me wisdom or he's just given me a new revelation of who he is, but he's just spoken. It just burns within your heart. And one of my main prayer for my friend at the moment, because he's interested in the Bible, he wants to read it, and so I've got him onto that. I'm just praying, God, let it burn within his heart like he's never experienced before. the same words that said, let there be light, and that created something, I pray that those same words would just transform his life and burn within him. It's a powerful, powerful word. We live under a great God, an amazing ruler, because of his powerful word that is good. And it talks about how it's right and it's true and it's powerful. Number three, a trustworthy plan. I love, let's just read it. Verse 10, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. The purposes of his heart through all generations. God's plan is trustworthy. We live in an incredible kingdom, God's kingdom, and his plan is trustworthy. We can trust in him. We can trust in what he's doing. Examples of that would be the death of Jesus. The people of that time thought they were going to kill Jesus and sort of kill off that movement, and it would become more Jewish again. And they thought, you know, if we kill him, then that'll be the end of that. But ultimately, God foiled that plan by raising him back to life. It's pretty cool. Story of Exodus. Pharaoh, he wants to keep the Israelites contained in Egypt, keep them as slaves. But ultimately, God foiled that plan by bringing them out through Moses. The story of Esther and how Haman wanted to destroy all the Jewish people, but God foiled that plan through Esther and Mordecai and brought salvation to that group of people. Think of David, who, with the Philistines, just constantly brought freedom to the Israelites and continued to lead the Israelites into battle and to win. God just, his plan is trustworthy, and I want to encourage us to trust in it. He's got a plan. He is God. He's in control, and we can trust it. What I like about this scripture is it talks about how the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. God's plan is generational. I guess that's the big thing that hit me out of this part of the scripture, that it's generational. And I want answers now. I want to know what's going on right now. I want to get this sorted and settled and be able to move on. But God's plan's generational. And sometimes it's just a bit longer, takes a bit longer than what I would like and what we would like, I guess. But we can trust in his generational plan. He's going to come through. He's going to do what he said. Sometimes it just takes years to come through. And I've learned, and still learning, to trust God with that. It's interesting, it's funny, when you look back. As a young guy, and not having a girlfriend at the time, and you often think, do I have the Paul anointing where I'll just never have somebody? And I don't know. I went through that phase thinking maybe I'm just going to be like Paul and I've just got to be happy with that. Thank you, God. But I know, you just know deep down what God's put in your heart, and you just got to trust in his plan. And my advice, and I've said this to a lot of young guys, you just love God as much as you can. Put him first and just go hard for God. Like, just be the most passionate, committed follower of Jesus that you can be. Get to know him so deeply now, because when you get married and have kids, there's going to be less time for reading the Bible and spending time with him. It's just life. You're going to have to carve that time out and be a bit more committed about that. But right now, when you've got lots of time, just give it all to God and trust him. And for me, it worked out pretty good, and I believe it'll work out pretty good for others as well if they put God first and trust him. And so I just know from my experience, God's plan is trustworthy. I look at Shell Harbour, and some people might call that a failure. I call that a humongous lesson that God's taught me. And he really clarified that not long ago, one of our leaders' meetings, where God just said to me, it was just one of those moments, God spoke and said, all that time is about me smashing out of you, literally smashing out of you, the desire for what for growth, for building a big church, being about numbers. Although in like, you don't say that, but it just sort of built up with all the experience and stuff that's going on in church life. And it just takes time to smash that out of you. And all those times that you were in the car shouting out to God, saying, why God? Why does others, you know, why do they get to see all this stuff going on, but why not for us? I'm actually happy, like, about everything that's happened, because I can see God's plan and what he was doing. And I trust in his plan. It's trustworthy. And he spoke and he made it clear what he was doing. It was not about all that stuff. It was about changing me so I could be the right person that I needed to be, and still becoming and learning. But it's a trustworthy plan. And I can trust God. And I want to encourage people today to trust God. If something still doesn't look the way you hoped or thought it would, trust God. He's trustworthy. Trust his plan. He will come through at the right time. If he said it, he will do it. But you just need to let God take his time with what he's doing in your life, and it will happen. It's a trustworthy plan. I wrote here, in the context of this scripture where it talks about he foils the plans of the world, don't worry about all the stuff that happens in the world. I don't have heaps of time, but just don't worry. Don't be the type of Christian that freaks out every time something happens in the world because you think it's going to kill off Christianity. Because the truth is, since 2,000 years ago, God's been building his church, and he'll keep building his church, and we just don't need to be the type of people that freak out over everything that happens, because in the end, God's plan rules. His plan is trustworthy. He foils the plans of the nations, and in the end, he will have his way. So let's just not be freak out Christians. Let's just be, I trust God. I'm just going to keep doing what I feel God's calling me to do. I'm not going to worry too much about what's going on. Amen? I feel like there's a lot of freak out weirdo Christians on the internet, and we just don't need to be those types of people. Okay, the fourth one, just quickly. It's a blessed nation. A blessed nation. It's so good to be in God's kingdom because his blessing is on it. It says, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. It just talks about in the Old Testament how God chose Israel to be his people. And here's what stood out to me. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God's blessing is on a group of people. It's on a community of people. It's not just on the one person. Now, within the group of people, some people seem to be more blessed and blessing happens. And let's not think about that for now. I just want you to know God's blessing is on the nation. It was on a group of people. And I want to encourage us to make sure we're positioning ourselves in the community of God's people. Now, you say, you look around, you're like, I'm doing that pretty good. I think it goes a bit deeper than just Sundays. What faith community, what community are you a part of that God's blessing and his hand is on? Because God's blessing is on a nation. It's not just on an individual. That could sound a bit challenging for some, but I really completely believe that. God wants to bless the group, the community. In Psalm 133, it talks about God's blessing and how it, when people come together united, that God's blessing is on them. It's like the oil that runs down the beard of Aaron. And a weird picture, but I just like the idea that when we come together as a community, God's blessing just runs down and it spreads over everybody. Every part of that body gets blessed because of the community that's united together. And so, a blessed nation. God wants to bless a community. He doesn't just isolate. He doesn't bless the isolated. He blesses the people that come together. The book of Acts talks about how they all met together in the houses, in the temple, but they were doing life together. And God's blessing was on them. Just read Acts 2. It talks about all the incredible things that God was doing in that community. And it was all because they loved God and they were together. And they were just in obedience to God and loving life together. And God's blessing just run down that community and spread over everybody. Incredible. A blessed nation. Number 5, a greater strength. No king, in verse 16, no king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance, and despite all its strength, it cannot save. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. No king is saved by the size of his army. Just simple encouragement. Let's not rely on our own strength, on our own resources, on our own wisdom, on our own ability. God gives us all of those things, and I believe we should develop those and use those and embrace those, but cling to God, because it's him that's going to bring us. And this scripture is ultimately talking about salvation. Salvation is through Jesus alone. Nothing in this world is going to get us to God except him. That when we practically apply that to our lives, it's just don't rely on the things of this world, but just rely on God. His strength is greater. It refers to horses here, saying a horse is a vain hope for deliverance. What that means is, in these times, a horse represented strength in an army. The more horses you had, the greater the military force. In one scripture, God actually says, don't gather too many horses for yourself, because I don't want you to end up relying on your own strength and ability. Make sure you don't gather too much. And I think that's incredible, because God's saying, don't rely on yourself. Remember, it's always me. The thing that stuck out to me as I was reading this, I was thinking about how people have the ability to accomplish incredible things. Talking to Mitch and Luke earlier about athletes, and some people can accomplish a lot through the help of drugs. But even without the drugs, people are capable of doing unbelievable things, whether it's in the world of business and starting organizations, or whether it's a sporting thing, whatever it is, we are actually capable of a lot. And it just got me thinking, if we're capable of so much, you know, what do we need God sometimes? And it immediately got me thinking of Philip in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. Because I was thinking of, anyway, weird thoughts, but Usain Bolt, fastest runner in 100 meter and 200 meter, I think. And just incredible, amazing ability. Will anyone ever beat that? Probably, but just unbelievable. Human effort, that's just up there. It's like, that's incredible. But what if we want to rely on God's strength? What does that mean? And I just thought of Philip, how he was with the Ethiopian guy and explaining the scriptures to him, discipling him in that moment, baptized him. Then God wanted him to be somewhere else. And let's just imagine that Usain Bolt was with him in that moment. And God said to both of them, all right, great work with the Ethiopian guy, discipling him, top job. Now I need you to head over to wherever it is, and I've got some other work for you to do. Well, Usain Bolt, he sprints off fast. Philip's like, oh, I'm not going to beat him there. But God just transports him, just moves him, and Philip's there immediately. And that's what I think about this scripture. Well, will God do that to us? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure. But it just got me thinking that no matter how much ability we have, God can always trump that. And we need to rely on his strength, because even if we put all of our effort into getting to that next spot as quickly as we could, if maybe Philip was just, I just trust God, and then boom, he was there. And I just wonder how much more God can do through us if we just let go of some of the things that we're so good at and just trusted him. Not in a lazy way, sit back and just wait for God to transport me. I don't need to take my car to church this morning. I'm just going to sit in bed and wait till he just pops me on my chair as the first song starts and it's just beautiful, and then pops me back home as the message finishes. It's just amazing to think, what could God do if we really relied on him? Amen? And I just want us to think about that, a greater strength. I'll finish it there. Well, I'll finish it with how the scripture, the psalm finishes. I think it's just a really nice way to finish this feel-good psalm, but it's deeper than just a feel-good psalm. This is like the power of our king, our ruler, and what he can do in our life. And when you've got all that, or something like of those points, those scriptures that we've talked about, just settles in your heart, just grabs you and just realigns you, you come to this place where in verse 20 it says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice. for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. I just like the way that ends. I just get this picture of somebody that is just happy and content in their relationship with God, under the rulership of God, not worrying, not freaking out, but just trusting God and happy to be in God's presence, in God's kingdom. And I think that's just a good place for us all to be and to aim for.